A young teenage shepherd boy from Bethlehem was facing a challenge like he'd never faced before. The fate of the army of Israel, indeed the fate of the whole nation, was at stake on that memorable day there in the Valley of Elah. Much hung in the balance as he faced the great giant Goliath on the battlefield. But David didn't trust in his own talents, nor did he trust in his own abilities on that occasion. Rather, he was trusting in the Lord to do what God alone could do in the circumstances. On the other hand, David didn't just run into the fray totally unprepared either. First of all, as we read here, he tried on Saul's armor. Then they had a field of Saul's sword. But he didn't feel comfortable, according to what we read in verses 38 and 39. So he left them aside. Do you see that now? The next thing that he did was to make his way down to the brook or to the waterside to get for himself the tools that he felt comfortable with. Of course, he had a staff, he had a sling, and then he headed to the nearest brook to pick up 5 smooth stones, according to verse 40. What a contrast to Goliath's weapons. He had a sword and a shield, verse 45. Now, I'm thinking about these 5 smooth stones David took from the brook. And I'm thinking especially what Peter said to the people he addressed, believers he addressed, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, where he described those believers, "Ye also are lively stones." And from these 5 stones, we learn the kind of people that the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, uses in his service. And I have 3 very simple things I want to share with you about these stones, these 5 stones. The first thing that I notice is this: they were chosen stones. Well, that's what we're told here in verse 40. "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones." Now the question may be asked, why did he select 5 stones? I don't really know why he chose these 5 stones. And the Bible does not specifically state why. The Lord doesn't really make that clear to us in the Bible. But I do know this: the 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. It's also the number of preparation. Let me illustrate this. When someone has experienced God's grace, they are prepared, or they are fitted for heaven. Let me just stop here for a moment and ask you the question: have you experienced God's grace? If you have, thank God, you're fitted and prepared for heaven. But let me say also, if you have never experienced the matchless saving grace of God, then you are not fitted for heaven. You're not prepared for heaven. What about it? The Bible does stress, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And you've come to the house of God this morning, and we are certainly glad to see you. But as far as we know, you've never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. Then I say to you today, seek him now. Even as you are seated here under the means of grace in God's house. Another illustration: the first 5 books of the Bible are to prepare us for Israel's story throughout the rest of the Bible. If we did not have these first opening books of the Bible, when we come to books like Joshua and Judges, we wouldn't know what it was all about. So in these opening 5 books of the Bible, the Lord is preparing us then for the history of Israel throughout the rest of the Bible. In Matthew chapter 25, we read there of 5 wise virgins. Why were they wise? Because they had made preparation, and when the announcement was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," they were ready, they had prepared, and they entered into the marriage with the bridegroom. There's some deep theological teaching there in that. One day it will be announced, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," that's Christ. If a man or woman or young person has never made preparation, then according to the teaching of that parable, those who are not converted will be shut out in the darkness, shut off from God forever. Here is a second warning already in the morning service. I've only been going about 5 minutes. God is speaking through his word, and he's speaking to you. To prepare the saints for ministry, some are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And through these five outlets, the gospel goes forth. God in his mercy and his grace uses these certain offices, men in these offices, to broadcast and proclaim the message of his matchless mercy and his matchless grace. Then when we think of Christ, we think of his wounds. We think of five primary wounds, his hands and his feet and his side. Five main wounds. Five is the number of grace. And through grace he went to the cross, died an atoning death, shed his blood to redeem a people from their sin. And now through the gospel he calls men to himself upon the basis of that work he accomplished on Calvary's cross. So I'm saying here that five speaks of grace, it speaks of preparation. So this is one of the reasons why I think David chose five stones. He wanted to be ready to fight Goliath. He was prepared. I think of the words of Oliver Cromwell. He said, "Trust in God and keep your powder dry." So he took five stones from the brook. It was the prudent thing to do. He wanted to be ready. He believed in the sovereignty of God. He believed that God was in this thing. He had every confidence in the Lord. But at the same time, it did not mean that he would not make preparation himself. So we've got to keep that in mind as well. The shape and the size of these stones were important. He knew exactly what he was looking for, the most suitable ones for the task to fit into the sling. The Lord chooses different people in life for different tasks. David chose the stones for the task as God chose him to be the second king of Israel, just in the same way, to replace Saul. Now, David was the least in his father's house. He had seven other brothers. He was only a teenager, and God had his mind set on this teenager to do a great work for him. Of course, when you come to the New Testament, the Lord also used a teenager. This time it was a girl. Her name was called Mary. She became the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when God was looking for a man in the Old Testament, he laid his hand upon a teenager. When God was looking for a woman in the New Testament to be a privileged vessel of honor, he laid his hand upon a teenager. You're a teenager in the house of God today. And in the will of God, all of life is stretching before you. Go through with God your vows to pay. You're all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to you God's very best. Is there someone here God has been exercising you of late about service, going through with God? He wants you to do something for him. Only you can do it, by the way. Mary was the one chosen of God. No one else could do it. David was the one chosen of God. No one else could do it. And God in his grace laid hold upon David. David was the eighth son. Eight in the Bible is the number of new beginning. So the Lord passed by these seven great sons of Jesse, and he said, "There's the one I want to Samuel." That's him. God made it clear. No doubt about it. He's the one. That's the man. Anoint him right away. Someone here in the house of God today, and God is pointing his finger right at you now. You may be feeling uncomfortable, and yet at the same time you may be feeling confidence, because this is what you've been praying about and asking God for. As we would say in Ballymena, a wee word from God. Maybe that's all you need today to encourage your heart and to encourage your soul. So here we find David, and the challenge that is before him is a big one. Over 9 foot tall. It's a big challenge. Maybe the challenge before you today in your family, in your home, in the workplace is a big challenge. And you feel, I can't cope with this. But this was Goliath's last day. Never again would he cause any problems for David. Never again would he cause any trouble for Saul or the people of Israel. This was going to be his last day. Maybe that issue you've been facing for some time, it's been wearing you down, but this could be the last day. The Lord could suddenly just step in and deal with that issue and liberate you and set you free and encourage your soul. You need that encouragement today, don't you? The Lord knows all about it. And just at the right time, he'll come and he'll lift that load, because burdens are lifted at Calvary. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes, Jesus. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is very near. This is the one you need today. The sympathizing Jesus. The one who knows all about your struggles. He will lead and guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus, and he in grace will come to you and minister to you. Just at that time, David was moved of God to do this work for him. But when you get someone ready to do a work for God, you'll always find someone there to discourage. And it came in the form of Eliab, David's older brother. He says, why camest thou downhill? Or did he not just come down to see the battle? You're a naughty boy. So he should have been encouraging him, but he's discouraging him. And listen, some people who ought to be encouraging God's people are maybe the people that discourage them in the work of God. And then Saul said, thou art not able to go. He says, you need to put on my armor and you need to take my sword. And David says, I can't, I haven't proved these things. And Saul says, you're not able to go. Oh, he's getting that from left, right, and center, from the family and from the king. Listen to what Paul said. Listen to it. This is maybe a word for you. I can do all things, not some things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Remember Elijah? He's been brave on Mount Carmel. He has slain the prophets of Baal. Jezebel says, by this time tomorrow you'll be as one of them. And he ran, and then he left his servant and went into the wilderness for a day's journey. Then he sat down. Do you not see this? He's down. Maybe you're down. He sat down. And then he fell asleep. This man is in a great bout of depression. And it happens to the best of people. It happens to us all. He's down. And he's weary. And he can't face the conflict or the battle anymore. I'm no better than my fathers. What did the Lord do? The Lord touched him. And furthermore, he touched him a second time. Oh, here's the second blessing. This is the way God blesses his people. No nonsense about it. What did they do? He provided him with rest. You just sleep a little bit longer. Then arise, get up and eat. You need something to eat. And then you need something to drink. Now, we can apply this in a spiritual context. Here's a man that is down. The command is, arise and eat. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Here the thought is, you need to feed upon the word. And then what does water speak of? Well, of course, it can speak of the Bible, but it can also speak of the power of the Spirit. So maybe you feel down, and lonely, and maybe the thoughts you're having are painful thoughts. Oh, you need this book. And you need the truth of this book written upon the tables of your heart by the powerful Holy Spirit. That will make the difference. And the Lord touched them again. And he fed him, and he drank, and he went in the strength of 40 days to Mount Horeb, the the might of God. Oh, maybe there's someone today and you need that touch. Now, David was there initially with food for his brothers. The father said to David, I want you to take some food down to your brothers, down to the battlefield. Okay. But actually, he ultimately was there to fight in a battle in the providence of God. Do you see this? I want you to take this food down to your brothers, but in God's providence. He was there at the right time, at the right place, for the right purpose. But I don't want us to miss a gospel truth that is here. And the gospel truth is this, that the Father sent his beloved Son into this world in the best interests of his chosen people given to him in the covenant of redemption. And he went and he fought a battle on Calvary's cross to liberate those people from the power of sin and to set them gloriously free. Do you see that? It's all here in a simple fashion. I can see a shadow of it at least. So here we see David down in the providence of God at this place. Saul offered him his armor and his sword and so on. And I take these things to refer to the flesh. And David had his equipment. He had his tools. He had his armor at the stones. And that speaks to me of faith. Remember when the children of Israel left Exodus in chapter Egypt in Exodus 13, 18. The children of Israel went up harnessed out of Egypt. In the margin of my Bible, it says by five in a rank. Others think maybe it could be 50. I'm not sure. But there's that five again. They marched out by God's matchless grace. They were a helpless people. They were a defenseless people. But they were invincible by God's presence with them. So the point I'm emphasizing here is these stones were chosen. David was well prepared to fight. The stones were chosen. And the truth is, children of God, we have been chosen in God's electing grace to salvation. And at the same time, God has a purpose in calling men to service, to serve him. We've got to move on to think about the second thing. The second thing, these stones were clean stones. How do I make that out? How do I come to this conclusion? Well, we're told here that he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. Well, when you think of the brook, you think of water. They had been in the water. They were rounded, water-worn pebbles, well-fitted to David's sling. Now, over there in Luke 3, verses 4 and 6, and he says, the Lord will make the rough ways shall be made smooth. There's that word. It's only found here, I think, in the New Testament. It's a quotation from Isaiah chapter 40. And the word for smooth means level. And as I said, I think this is the only place where it's found in the New Testament. And it is an allusion to the practice of Eastern monarchs when planning a visit. Joe has been over from the United States. And a lot of preparation has gone into this. A lot of money has been spent as well. But that's besides the point. The heralds were sent out to call the people to clear the roads or to improve the roads, maybe potholes or whatever in those times. So people had to go out and prepare the roads for the coming of the monarch. John, of course, he was referring to himself as the courier of the king. But the preparation of which he insisted was the preparation of heart and life. So he was telling the people as the forerunner, prepare your hearts because the king's coming. Get right for the king is coming. Preaching repentance and salvation and redemption. So that was the message the forerunner was bringing to the people. Prepare to meet God. That was the recommendation. Make your life fit for the king to see. And so these stones were in the water. Water in scripture is an emblem of the word. So typically, these stones had been under the word. They were therefore clean stones. And God's people need to be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And the water of the word removes the rough edges. I think of Ephesians 5:26, speaking about the bride of Christ. that you might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And the word of God washes God's people. This is a wonderful illustration. And it's given here of washing of water by the word. And there's a reason that our clothes and our dishes and our cars are washed in water, because water is very effective. Taking out the dirt and the grime and carrying it away. And did Jesus not pray, sanctify them through thy word is truth. This is the great high priestly prayer of Christ. Sanctify thy people through thy word is truth. And so I'm saying that these stones were under the word. They were cleansed. They were smoothed. They were ready for the sling. They were ready to be used by the David in the great conflict against the enemy. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The word of God is also likened to a mirror. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, being not a forgetful doer, but a doer, of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So here's a lesson. I talked to this the young people in the Bible class about this theme this morning. Read it. Looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Then review it. Continueth therein. Keep on reading it. Keep on reviewing it. And then remember it. He be not a forgetful hearer. And then from another source, record it. Giveth earnest heed. Don't let it slip. Just as a mirror reflects what we look like on the outside, so God's word reflects what we look like on the inside. We are to look into the Bible, and as we do so, it reflects back who we really are, what kind of people we really are, what we look like spiritually. The stones were uncovered, and they were drawn from the brook for a purpose. And the promises of God can be uncovered and drawn from the book of God to energize our souls as we seek to engage the enemy. Do you see that? He took the stones out of the brook. Take the precious promises out of the word of God, out of the book of truth, and fortify yourselves for the fight against the onslaught of the enemy. Those who oppose the child of God, the promises of God, can be uncovered in the scriptures, drawn from the book of God. I think about Moses. His name means drawn out. Where was he drawn out of? Out of the Nile. Why was he drawn out of the Nile in the providence of God? Of course, we know that it was in the ark. The ark was on the water. Well, he was drawn out of the water to defeat Pharaoh at a later stage and deliver the people of God. We often need to be under the means of grace. We often need to be under the means of the word of God if we want to be used by our beloved, just the way these stones were used by the beloved. I think of Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet under the word. Oh, she was glad. She was glad she sat there. She had insight into even the mind of God, because she came to anoint him before his agonies of the cross. These things were revealed as she sat under the word. Then I think about the rich young ruler. He was under the word when Christ spoke to him, go and sell all that you have, follow me. That made him sad, because he didn't want to give up what he had to follow Jesus. Then in Nazareth, Luke 4:16. When he'd opened the book, he found the place and began to say unto them, and what he brought, the message he brought that day made them mad, because they were filled with wrath. The book of God will either make you glad or sad or mad. These are the different responses that people have shown towards the Holy Scriptures of truth. So the stones were taken out of the brook, and then they were put into the shepherd's bag. The shepherd bag, well, there was a place there. Maybe he had something to eat in there. maybe had some anointing oil for his sheep and so on in this bag. So he takes them out of the brook and he puts them into the shepherd's bag. And we need to take the promises of God out of the Holy Scriptures and put them into the shepherd's bag of our hearts. We need to make them our own. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. And we need to take these rare, precious promises into our own hearts and make them ours through faith. Thy word have I hid in my heart that it might not sin against thee, said the psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 11. There's something more. David saw the stones under the water. And the point I want to emphasize here is the Lord knows those who are often under his word. Are often in his word. Have you been in the word this week? Have you been searching the scriptures this week? Have you been in the word this week? David knew where to find them, and he took them, the ones he decided to use. Here's a word for us all again. They that bear the vessels of the Lord must be clean. We need to dip into the water of the word and find food for thought and promises to lean upon. You think about Naaman, he's covered in leprosy. Go wash 7 times. So he's gone down to the river and he washes. And he keeps on going. That's the way it is with us children of God. Every day we need to get to the word that we might experience cleansing in the service of God. He kept on going until he experienced the cleansing that he needed. We can apply this to Bible study. And then David went down into the valley to face Goliath, and he crossed the brook. On the night of his death, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was going out to fight his Goliath, crossed the brook Kidron, dyed red with the blood of the sacrifices offered in the temple. The Philistines, according to chapter 17 and verse 1, pitched in Ephesh Damin, meaning boundary of blood. And although the Philistines were mighty, they could not penetrate the boundary of blood and cross the valley to attack the people of God. So here we see David going down into the valley, foreshadowing of Christ, going down into the valley that night when he went to Gethsemane. And David had a sling and the stones in his hand, lethal weapons in the hand of a trained shepherd. The sling was visible in his hand. The stones were invisible in the bag. He took one stone, which would have been no use without the sling, and it was propelled towards the target. And we have this wonderful thought here that the Spirit is the dynamic driving force behind the Church of Jesus Christ. These feeble men are meeting in the upper room 50 days after the resurrection. They've been praying for 10 days. Suddenly, there's a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and they were all what? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, and then they began to preach with power. They began to evangelize with power. And God moved in a powerful way. Oh, we're just like these stones. We have been taken out of the water. And we're put into the sling. And we're propelled forward by the power of the Spirit to do a great work for God. One stone was used to penetrate Goliath's armor and ended up in his forehead. Amen. And brought about his downfall. The power of one stone directed by the Lord had a profound effect. And we, as the people of God, we need to reach the minds and hearts of men and women by the penetrating word of truth. That's what the secret is today. We can't penetrate the hearts of men apart from the power of the word of God applied by the Spirit. Thank God we see many missions in our churches these days. Let's pray that God will be pleased to use the penetrating truth of God's word to arrest the unconverted and bring them to Christ. One stone was needed to destroy Goliath. One sacrifice was needed to destroy the devil. One Savior was needed to deliver sinners. David, a teenage boy, went out against the giant. God used him. One man. One man, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. David chose 5 stones, but he only used 1. So 4 were left in the bag and were available to him if he needed them. He had confidence in God, but he may not have thought, well, I'll hit him with the 1st stone, so I'm going to have 4 as a backup. Come back to what Cromwell said again. It's interesting that when Jesus met Goliath, his Goliath, in Matthew chapter 4 in the wilderness, he had 5 books available to him. The Law of Moses. How many did he quote from? 2 or 3? Did he use 4 of them? Well, David just used 1 stone. He didn't even borrow the other 4. And Jesus just used 1 book, the book of Deuteronomy. There was enough ammunition there to defeat the devil, to fell the great opposer. And here we can see it, a type of this here in the Old Testament. And I've read in other places as well. I don't want to maybe put too much emphasis on this, but I've read this. I'm going to just share it with you. Some say that these 4 stones were representative. There were 4 left, and other giants had to be faced and defeated also. Well, we can apply that spiritually. And in 2 Samuel 21, we read about Goliath having brothers or relatives, and they fell to David's armies later on. Maybe they're reading into that too much. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there for consideration. We're going to meet our giants today, and we'll meet some more tomorrow again. We need more grace with the passing of time. My time is gone. I can't go on. I haven't even got near the 3rd point, but I'll just leave it with you. Not only were they chosen stones and clean stones, they were courage stones. David put them in the shepherd's bag. So these stones, representing the people of God, they've been carried by the man whose name means beloved. He's a type of Christ. You see that? In the bag. They're safe in the bag. And wherever the beloved went to, the stones went. Across the brook, onto the battlefield. Ah, the stones accompanied David wherever he went. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Think about the high priest in the Old Testament. He's got these 12 precious stones on the breastplate over his heart, speaking of love. And then the other stones on the shoulder, speaking of strength. Each one had a name of the tribes of Israel, representing the family of God. Wherever the high priest went, the people were represented. And before God, representing his people, that's where Christ is today, representing you, representing me. Hallelujah. We've got one in the glory who was dead, who's alive, and he lives in the power of an endless life, and he's interceding for you. Don't you see it? Here's encouragement for us. Lift up your eyes to the great high priest at God's right hand. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. When Israel faced Goliath, they were like a sheep without a shepherd. The Lord saved his people by his matchless, powerful grace. And then we're told in verse 49 that David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone. He used that stone to fell Goliath. And that reminds me of John chapter 10, verse 28. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So the stones are in the shepherd's bag. Goliath is before him, 9.5 feet tall. Oh, this is a big challenge I'm facing today. He's got the sling. He's been used with this. He puts his hand in. And now, there we see the stone in his hand, in the hand of the beloved. And think about what we read in John chapter 10. There's no one able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are in the hands of our beloved, our beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the stone sunk into Goliath's skull. He uses his people to secure in his hand, thank God, secure in his hand to penetrate this old sinful world to advance his cause. And then we're told something amazing. Goliath has got his sword, he's got a shield, and so on. David has a sling, he has a staff, and he has the stones. The Bible says, but there was no sword in David's hand. Stone was in the skull of Goliath. Christ didn't have a sword in his hand on Calvary. He shed his blood. And through the shedding of his blood, he defeated the devil. Hallelujah. Triumphed over the powers of darkness, and he lives. Hallelujah. He lives today. Christ Jesus lives. Our great Redeemer has triumphed over Satan and sin, the devil and hell, through his precious, hallelujah, atoning blood. There's cleansing for the sinner through the blood. There's washing from sin in the blood of Jesus. You can repent of your sins and believe the gospel. You can be saved today and leave Moore and Free Presbyterian Church washed in the blood of the Lamb, a child of the King, destined for heaven and for glory. Repent of your sins. Believe the gospel. Come today. Seek him with all of your heart. There was no sword in his hand. Precious. Precious is the blood that is shed. I'm going to finish there. Five smooth stones in the hands of the Savior can further his cause, can penetrate the works of this old sin-cursed world and be used to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Do you belong to him? Are you like the people Peter described as lively stones? Chosen, cleansed, carried all the way from earth to heaven. Redeemed by precious blood. I will bow for prayer. I will not go to the door this morning, but I will have prayer. And if anyone should happen to need a preacher, I'm here. The elders are known to you. Mr. Harris is known to you. If any one of us can be of help to you today, we're here to point you to Christ. We'll close now with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for the simple message. We pray that thou wilt write it indelibly upon the hearts of those who have heard. And even at the end, there'll be someone in the gallery, someone to my right or left, or someone down center here. The Spirit of God might be striving with them. Blessed Holy Spirit, continue on with thy work. Accomplish the purposes of God. Extend thy kingdom. Restore the backslider. Edify the Church of Jesus Christ. And separate this with thy blessing, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name.